good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 18th day of September 25. And Ken Cummins, the legend this morning.
Yeah, and Brian Marshall, side bottom, the first.
Yeah, I like it, I tell you.
You like what? Eating or sleeping? Or
I like eating, sleeping, whatever, all the above, praising Jesus, whatever.
Oh, yeah, you like your new name. That name,
I do.
Now, I have to ask you, now, when you are in the metro area of Todd County, you know, and when you're watching out for Metro Traffic Control there in Todd County around the Court Square, has anybody these days shouted out, "There is Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first"?
Not yet.
Well, now I want to get that done. That lets me know I have Missionary Radio listeners.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe during Harvest Fest coming up in the next few weeks, maybe somebody else shout out.
Well,
to
won't
me.
You put a get, go in the parade, put a sign on your car,
okay,
say I am Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first.
Okay. Well.
Well, Tamara, I just heard her say it's a good idea. We need to move on.
We
have a special guest this morning. he's no stranger to Christian County and obviously not Todd County. It's Brother Darrell Crawford, pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church out on the Eagle Way Bypass here in Hopkinsville. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. We've back in the day, we'd have you periodically on prayer day, but we haven't given up on prayer. In fact, we pray all the time here, but the prayer day, we had decided to do them a little differently, so that's why we haven't seen you in a while. And so, well, we're looking forward to talking to you. You're still losing weight, man. What's happened to you?
Well, you just stop eating, I guess.
No, honestly, you're looking good, brother. Tell me, what's been going on with you? You staying busy?
Yes. The Lord has been so gracious to us. I say this all the time. I've been 15 years at Living Hope Baptist Church.
Wow.
And it has felt like a 15-year honeymoon. Like, they have been so good to us. And, you know, there have been, I was telling you earlier that I can remember when maybe the average age of our church might have been 70. And I think the average age of our church now is probably maybe less than 40. And a lot of that, I think, is the older people just rolling with the change. And, you know, just add, you know, we didn't set out to make changes. We just preached the word, and as new people came in with new giftedness, they used it. And a lot of the older people have been leading the charge in encouraging the young people. And I don't know, it's just it's been a sweet ride.
Well, he has set the table very well. Some of the things I want to talk about this morning, we Living Hope actually has, I don't want to use the word merge, but I think that would be the business world term, with Calvary Baptist Church. We'll tell that story and how that happened, and the really the opportunity to do that and a challenge. I honestly want to issue that challenge, but I want to focus on what the Lord's doing through Living Hope. You just nailed it right there. Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 21st, nationwide, is what is known as Back to Church Sunday. And the emphasis is on that, brothers and sisters, is to try to get those adherents and members, or those who don't go to church at all, get on back to the house of God. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that. And, you know, I've got a goal here. If I could get Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first back in church, that would be wonderful.
Man, that'd be awesome.
And especially since you're on Christian radio.
It would help, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be a great witness, Brian.
I go to church every time the door's open.
I know that. That's the reason why I felt comfortable saying that. I don't want to paint her. Brian and I pick on each other. But
all
this morning, we got some music.
Yeah.
And looking forward to talking to Brother Darrell Crawford, pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church here in Hopkinsville. So we're going to have a good time right here on
The Front Porch on Missionary Radio, your community station.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Some 9-year-old children were asked what they thought of death and dying. Jim said, "When you die, they bury you in the ground, and your soul goes to heaven, but your body can't go to heaven because it's too crowded up there already." Judy said, "Only the good people go to heaven. The other people go where it's hot all the time, like in Florida." John said, Maybe I'll die someday, but I hope I don't die on my birthday, because it's no fun to celebrate your birthday if you're dead. Call on the Lord while you have the day to do so. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
I'm Tammy Cummins, office manager and afternoon host on Missionary Radio. In these dark times, we need to make a difference for the kingdom of God by our prayers and finances, where they will make a big impact. It's expensive to run radio stations, but I believe it's money well spent to get the message of Jesus Christ out to many who still need Him. Missionary Radio, your community Christian station, is 100% listener funded. Our What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th, and we need your help. We had a serious shortfall this summer, at times 75% below budget. If you're new to Missionary Radio, please join in supporting our mission to reach people for Christ. Or if you are a current partner, please renew. You may give online at missionary.radio, call 877-885-9655, or mail to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch on your community station, Missionary Radio.
Yeah, Brian Marshall, Side Bottom the First. I'm Ken Cummins. Brother Daryl Carford is with us. Brother Daryl is pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church, and he just told us been there 15 years. That's a spell.
Yes, it's been great.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that here a pastor's enjoying himself.
I love it, yeah.
But Brother Hart, you said something but just the beginning of the broadcast, and I want to get to that. But first, I want to hear a story. I want to set it up this way in this segment. For the last year, I've had, and this is not news to me, but I've seen it firsthand. And this is not, first of all, let me put a disclaimer here. It's not. I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but if I sound like I am, forgive me. But I have noticed in some of these churches that I have spoken in, the attendance 10, 12, and I haven't seen a vision or heard it or even felt it, if you want to go to those senses, of doing anything about it. Right. They said, maybe we'll get us a young preacher, like he's going to be the magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think so. But the reason I bring that up, some time ago, the Lord had led you all to merge with another congregation. And the people in Christian County may know about that then, but we cover a whole lot more than Christian County.
Right.
And so I'd like, in fact, our footprint is broad and goes a long way. So with that in mind, tell the story about how Living Hope became merged with, it was Calvary Baptist. Mm-hmm. What's the story on that?
Yeah, so around, I guess it was 2022, I think. Maybe it's 2021. The time, I think it's 2022.
Yeah, no, you're not that old.
I know.
But go ahead.
Anyway, a few years ago, Living Hope was, we were at a place where we were going to have to go to a second service. And we got a phone call from the leadership at Calvary Memorial Baptist Church that said that they were down, their numbers were just down, and their, the words they said was they felt like that they could keep the doors open for a couple more months. And so Pastor Kent Workman and I met with the leadership there and just kind of talked through ideas. We prayed together and I read a couple of books about this kind of a thing, and I'd read how it would take a couple of years to, you know, for this thing to materialize, that people would be upset and that people would get angry, and that you would leave, both congregations would have people leave over it, and we started the conversation late August, and the end of September, I think both congregations had meetings, had spoken, had votes, and it was unanimous at both places. And by November, all paperwork was signed, and it was a done deal.
Hmm.
And I think the first Sunday that we were there, was the second Sunday in September of that year, whether it was 21 or 22, I don't remember. But and there were 15 people there. And Dr. Reed Shepherd is one of our elders. He
High school with Reed.
Okay.
Young man.
Yeah. So he preached the first sermon there. And then I think Brother Kent preached the next week. And then I started preaching the third week. And God has just, we've just seen, you know, we had probably about originally maybe 25 or 30 people from the Eagle Way campus came over to the Calvary campus and helped get it started. And they've been great. And we've just seen more and more people come to know the Lord there, come to, you know, move into the community and join in there. I think this past Sunday we had 169 or 179 there.
They had a Calvary Memorial.
At Calvary Memorial, yeah. So
fantastic.
It's just been a joy watching. And I do think that was a group of people that were there that recognized where they were and cared more about the kingdom of God than
maintaining tradition or maintaining
exactly.
history. So
right.
You're not losing your heritage.
Right.
But some folks, they say, well, I was saved here. I was baptized here.
Right.
I did this. That's great. Those are great things.
Yeah.
But what are we doing for the kingdom? You
right.
that you nailed it with that comment there.
Yeah. Then, you know, there is and I've said this for years that, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but I think sometimes I think we have too many churches and we need more churches.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what I mean is we have too many places that are just meeting. And you know, you said you've spoken at places where they have
a ton.
Where the baptistry is used as a
they
as
have
a
floral,
storage closet.
They have. I've noticed one or two have floral arrangements
right.
in them.
Yeah, so there's no intentions of using that.
And the dust is not just from a week past.
Right. Right.
And so, for example, there are so many buildings, and someone said to me, I was talking about some of the, I post devotionals and things on Facebook daily, and someone said to me, he said, well, you're almost saying, Brother Ken, that as if the church is, the building's the church. I said, you know better than that. I know better,
mm-hmm.
but I know you can't, quote, go to church. Everybody wanting to take me on about that. But you can gather for attendance.
Right.
And that's what the local church is all about, mm-hmm. get together. And the buildings and all of those things that the Lord has given us are to be used for His glory. So if you have a congregation to say it's struggling, has 10 or 12, and you have another little congregation out here close by,
right.
or even maybe some distance, these days it doesn't seem to matter as much as it did in days gone by. But they should have a conversation about meeting in one place and forming a stronger body. What do you think?
Yeah, I think just people have got to get back to realizing what we're there for. You know, sometimes I think it's easy to think, well, you know, we go to church. Like you said, like I think there are people who think we go to church and then we go eat at Mama's house after church.
That's it.
And that's what we do. And the losing sight of, we have a mission to reach people for Christ. And, yeah, and you know, just and you know, we pray for an awakening all across this county, and you know, there are churches that are, you know, 10 or 12 people that could be awakened. They could, you know, if they get with the biblical program, they can, man, they can read. You just, I told our church recently that the more we share the gospel with people, the more people get saved. It's a crazy thing. You know, so if people just get out,
it's
where
called
they just
sowing
start,
and reaping.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, use gospel tracts, go knock on doors, go invite people, be hospitable, have them in your home, do whatever you know. And if you say, you know, well, I think I have a better way of doing it than you, Daryl, then I would say, do it.
Right. Well, I want to tell the story and then ask you a question, Brother Daryl. Recently, I was in a storage room in the basement of my house, and I was going through old materials and old sermons. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of them,
mm-hmm.
and seminary notes from back when I went to seminary back in the Renaissance. Okay, long time ago. But anyway, I came up on some of these old things that came, quote, from the Sunday School Board. I had not been to Sunday School Board for many uh-huh. years through the Southern Baptist Convention, and it was telling you how to witness and how to grow a church. And I thought program after program comes out. But these programs do not take the place of a heart full of the Holy Spirit
right.
and a desire to see people saved.
Amen.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know, I am preaching. I am a pastor primarily because in 2005, maybe 2004, I began reading and come across Luke chapter 19. Luke 19:41, Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They're waving palm branches in his face, and the Bible says that Jesus looked across that city, and as he looked at the city, he wept over it. Mm. And I remember, just hearing from the Lord, if Jesus is weeping over his city, we ought to be weeping over our city. And I think if Jesus was walking around in Hopkinsville today, he'd see all the architecture, he'd see all the beautiful buildings, he'd see the awesome choir, and he'd get somewhere and he'd weep because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of other people that seem to be weeping over the loss. I think we've got to get our tears back if we're going to see churches be revived and awaken and have that desire for the kingdom of God that we're talking about.
That's the voice of Brother Darrell Crawford, pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church, and I always watch Brother Brian Sidebottom, Marshall Sidebottom, the first hands. He starts reaching over to let me know, okay, it's time for something else. But before we do, I want to get back on that business about weeping over those that do not know Jesus and weeping over the condition spiritually, and we'll do that. Let me plant something in your heart before to think about, dear one, before we come back. According to missiologists and through the International Mission Board of Southern Baptist Convention, worldwide population, 8 billion plus people. Of those, and the only kind of Christian I know of is a born-again one. That's it, period. 90% of the world are lost without Jesus Christ, if you say it that way. What does that do? That means if I had 10 people in this control room this morning, 9 of us wouldn't be... according to that, would not be going to heaven,
yeah.
be going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not supposed to say that on a morning radio show, but, you know, this is serious.
Yeah.
And back to church Sunday, folks, we need to talk about getting believers in church and believing the Lord. Well, Brian, I'm going to start preaching. Brother Darrell is our guest, and I'm going to be the one to start preaching because this subject fires me up and from my heart. Not out of any other emotion, and pure gripping in my heart. Yeah. All right, Brian, you better take it because you're letting me talk.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, "I thoroughly enjoy your music and programming. Your station has meant a lot to me over the years. I appreciate Missionary Radio." From a Clarksville listener, "Very inspirational messages and music." From Nebo, "Thank you for your service to our Lord Jesus. May God continue to bless each of you and your families." Also from Clarksville, "Praying for the station continually."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Well, here we are on the front porch. Did you bring breakfast?
No.
Well, I hear that you're an excellent cook, according to Tamara.
Well, I do some cooking every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but she does. She's better at it than I am, but I can handle my own.
Of course,
own
you think
sometimes.
you're doing that in case she might be listening.
Well, she might be listening, so I'll make sure to go take it easy on her. So.
All right. Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the first. Ken Cummins, along with Pastor Darrell Crawford of Living Hope Baptist Church here in Hopkinsville. By the way, You guys like had a reunion when you walked into the studio this morning.
We're
now, you know one another?
Yeah, we're both from Todd County. So.
That's right. God's country.
Yeah, God's country.
Whoa. Wait a minute. When Brother Harold Raleigh and I are in here, we say that, say that God's country is Princeton.
That's a suburb.
A suburb of God's country. Todd County guys. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think you said, what, you graduated in 95? Is that right?
No, I didn't say that.
You
I
said
graduated
93.
93. I'm a year older than you.
See? See, I'm old, too, so I don't remember nothing.
You guys tear me up. You graduated in 93 and 94. I was already many years into the ministry by then and living full-time as a Southern Baptist missionary when you guys are just getting out of diapers. So come on. What are you talking about for me?
Man, I turned 50 in December, and I instantly thought I was older than everybody.
I looked around and I think,
older than that person. I'm older than that person. I was on a plane. I thought I could be the oldest person on this plane.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it, Brother Darryl.
Darryl, when I started going to the hospital a couple of times, I had 2 months' worth of spats of kidney stones. So, taking pills and everything like that, I said, man, I turned 50 and I'm starting to have to take pills, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, man, but anyway.
Okay. Well, Brother Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first.
My wife said, you better be easy, she said.
Easy on you?
That's what I guess. I guess I better be easy.
So. Oh, yeah, no, you not me. Tamara, that's not going to happen, dear. Well, good morning to you, and this is Community Radio, because we know one another, and we might as well have a good time as not, the way I see it. Recently, in what's going on in the United States, is so much, but I'm going to narrow in. Last week ago, was it yesterday? It was on the 10th, day's the 18th, so a week ago yesterday, Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and it's political assassination. And he was a stand-up Christian. Out of that, because Turning Point USA was started, and according to what I knew this. I'd followed Charlie Kirk way before all of this happened, and some didn't even know his name until now. But anyway, the point is, Turning Point USA, chapters in the colleges and universities across the United States and in high schools, and young people turning to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And now, after his murder, what has happened is there's been a proliferation of interest in Turning Point USA, and the gospel is getting an opportunity to be presented to millions more. It's absolutely amazing. So, Brother Darryl, speak to what you see in the climate of how does that hit you when you hear Christians? It seems to, well, frankly, under attack.
Yeah. You know, I don't think, I would watch Charlie Kirk and appreciate his boldness in the open air.
Sure.
And there was a bold compassion and kind of a law to the proud, grace to the humble.
Sure.
You know, thing with him that I was grateful for. I didn't realize the impact that he had on so many young people. I preached at chapel at Heritage Christian Academy last Thursday, which was the day after, and I was surprised at how many younger people were shook over over that, and you know, like, I think it's heartbreaking just when you think of our country, because it wasn't just that. You know, there was a school shooting that's just no longer surprising to us anymore.
We've become numb, I think.
Right. There was a girl that was stabbed on a train that no one even seemed to come to her help.
A Ukrainian Irina.
Right.
Ukrainian, you know, like, refugee.
You know, I think of just where we are, and I read Romans 1 and just thinking, is it possible that God is just stepping back and you know, where he's just saying, you call good evil and evil good, you're on your own. And, you know, we know he's never going to leave his people, like those who are trusting in Jesus. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Nothing will separate us from his love. But as a nation, if there's ever a time for us to be praying for an awakening, we should look at Romans 1 and say, is that us? And the good thing about it is, one, I think we're due for an awakening.
Amen.
And then two,
been praying for one since 84,
yeah,
personally.
And then two, when you look and see the amount of young people that, even atheistic young people,
mm-hmm,
are more interested in having conversations about the gospel. They're more interested in hearing and thinking about truth than I think they've ever been. And so, man, the church, if there's a time that we should be hitting our knees and opening our mouths on the streets, it would be now, because it seems like there are more people. This thing with Charlie Kirk perhaps could be, you know, you'd hate to think that someone would have to be killed for people to be awakened, but it does seem like that maybe that's something that's going to happen, and we pray that it does.
Yes, and you're right, and it's created a tremendous amount of interest and openness for the gospel, and of course Satan is always going to do what he can to try to defeat something, but we know better, and this is where Christians, if anything, out of this has come boldness.
Right, yeah.
And this Back to Church Sunday, be bold for Jesus and take someone with you to church, yeah, and invite them and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Mentioning young people, at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned at Living Hope, you've been there 15 years, you got there, and there was an older congregation. Now the younger ones are leading the way. Sunday night, I went to Tammy and I, and of course, Andrew, who works here, part of our youngest son, Andrew is part of the praise team there, at rotating and playing the guitar, bass, whatever, at Heartland in Paducah. And we reached Paducah on one of our stations, 90.5 FM. And at the near the end of that praise and worship service, didn't call them down front, but scores of young people, mm-hmm, came down and were praising God.
Yeah,
man, if anybody if he had any ounce of anything in them, that brought you out of your grave.
Right. Yeah.
It was amazing. But you're seeing that too at Living Hope.
We are. You know, Jacob Workman is one of our pastors, and on Thursday nights they have a young adult Bible study where there's not music, there's not food. They just come in and they just walk through books of the Bible, or he talks through some theological doctrine things. And you know, there'll be, on a Thursday night, there could be sometimes, you know, 30, 40,
wow,
you know, 18 to 25-year-olds there that just, wow, seem to be, you know, hungry for that. And I don't think it's, again, you know, 10 years ago, if you're, you know, if we're at a summer salute downtown or something, we're sharing the gospel with people, you talk with an atheistic young person, they were just arrogant, and they would just shut you down or mock you, walk away from you, curse you, whatever. They're not doing that now. Those people are listening. Those people, and it seems to be maybe even since COVID, mm-hmm, but more and more, like, there are, you know, like, there should be a plead with the listeners to say, open your mouth and share the greatest story in the world, because there are people who are listening now who've never listened before.
Wow. If I hadn't known better, Brother Brian, you know, you guys have already discussed your ages, and you're from Todd County, so I know he's not my twin brother. He must be my long-lost cousin or something, because I share a kindred spirit on what you just said. And because I hear people say in half for countless years, Brother Darrell, and we're going to hit this when we come back after Johnny, here's the thing. They'll say, yeah, brother, I witnessed with my life. Well, you better. But so you're going to tell me that somebody's going to come to Jesus just by looking at you. They might have interest in what you are, mm-hmm, but the faith comes by hearing by the, amen, word of God. Open thou thy mouth.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about those tears and the altar and young people and back to church and what's going on at Living Hope. But right now, Brian, what are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you it's time for Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. Do you ever feel like God is piling on just a little too much? I know I have. And I know this message from Johnny is going to be a great encouragement.
I sure felt that way. And so has my friend Chloe. Her disability does not have her in a wheelchair, but due to a tough battle against cancer in her throat, and face, Chloe has a difficult time speaking. Plus, her jaw and mouth are very disfigured, and she struggles so with pain. Recently, she shared, "Johnny, I am just feeling the need to send out an SOS right now. You know that I trusted the Lord through all of this, but lately, I am so discouraged. My voice is so mutated that people cannot understand me, and it makes me feel so different, so separated from everyone else. Sometimes I feel like I just can't take it anymore. I just needed an encouraging word from a fellow soldier in the trenches. And so I'm praying for you too, Johnny. I know it's getting harder and harder for you to breathe, and you are in a bunch of pain. So I lift you up before the throne of grace today also. I know Chloe well, and I am fully convinced this young woman is a real champion for Christ. But no matter how valiantly we fight the good fight, we all get weary. We all need an encouraging word now and then." And so I replied to my friend. I said, "Chloe, I am so very sorry to learn that the encroachments of your disability are affecting your speech more. Being able to communicate is so key. Many of my nonverbal friends who have cerebral palsy, they say the same. Believe me, Chloe, I know what you mean when you say, you just can't take it anymore. It happens to me when pain in my hip and back drive me to the edge. And then God often allows some other difficulty, and it'll push me off that edge. And that makes me feel so helpless. But time and again, when I feel as though I am falling backward, tumbling over and over, down for the count, decimated, I feel the everlasting arms of Jesus catch me. Just like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 33, it says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, Chloe, aren't you glad for that? Whoever said that God will never give you more than you can bear had it completely wrong. God will give you more than you can bear, all to the end that you might even collapse and fall against Christ, casting yourself upon him, utterly lacking an ounce of strength to go on. And what happens next is a quiet assurance, what do you know, that you are going to make it. His strength becomes yours, and lo and behold, you are even enjoying a more intimate fellowship of suffering with your Savior." Friend, that's what I shared with Chloe, and I share it with you today.
Now, friend, if you feel like God is unjust and piling on more than you can bear, well, honestly, I can understand those feelings. And if you feel like you can't take any more, or before you start feeling that way, please reach out to us so we can pray for you. Just go to johnnyradio.org and let us know how we can pray. And finally, if you're feeling overwhelmed by trials, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So, friend, keep enduring, keep persevering. And if you feel pushed over the edge, fall into the everlasting arms of your Savior, because he's there to catch you, and he will never let you go. He will hold on and see you all the way to the end. And remember, our Johnny and Friends team wants to pray for you. So share your thoughts, your struggles, and your prayer needs with us at johnnyradio.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Jesse Martin. I'm your overnight host here at Missionary Radio, and I wanted to invite you to tune in and be a part of this year's Carathon, the What an Awesome God Carathon, going to be happening October 7th, 8th, and 9th. We'll be on the air all 3 days talking about how God is using this ministry, and we'll be asking you to be a part of the ministry of Missionary Radio with your prayers and your gifts of financial support. We ask that you pray first and foremost that God will do his will during this time, and that he'll keep Missionary Radio strong. And then we ask that you come alongside of us in making that a reality. If you want to go ahead and donate, you can do so online at missionary.radio or call 877-885-9655. Again, want to invite you to tune in to the Carathon happening October 7th, 8th, and 9th right here on your community radio station, Missionary Radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Missionary
Radio.
Matthew West, chosen on Missionary Radio, your community station. And, of course, this is The Front Porch on a Thursday.
Yes, and good morning to you. So glad you're here. It's going to be another hot one already. What's nice right now, 63? What's you headed to today?
It's going to go up to about 93.
About, or is it?
Well, it says 93.
It's going to hover around there.
Yeah, somewhere around 93.
I predict it's going to go higher.
We could. Could go to 94. Who knows?
Oh, my. Brother Darrell Crawford's our guest. Brother Darrell's pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church. Before we move on, talk about your schedule so folks may be wanting to visit you.
Yes, sir. We right now, we have a worship service at the Calvary Memorial Campus at 280 Pyle Lane. The worship service is right now at 9 a.m., and then the Sunday school follows. And then at the Eagle Way Campus, the Sunday, which is 6305 Eagle Way Bypass, the Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and the worship service begins at 10:30. That's right now. I say it right now because on October 5th, we are going to be adding a third service. So we're going to start a 7:45 service at the Eagle Way campus. And then Sunday school will follow that at about 9:15. And then there'll be another worship service at 10:45 at the Eagle Way campus. At the Calvary Memorial campus, the time will just move to 9:15, from 9 to 9:15.
Well, you may be like me and all these radio stations I announce on. You bet you might be confused where you are. You better what time of day it is.
Right. Keep you running.
Yeah, that's good. Brother Darrell, you mentioned earlier about tears and getting lost people and young people. There's so much that I would like to crunch into that, but I want to get at the heart of why do you see the church is growing at Living Hope? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think God's grace primarily. He's been very kind to us, and I think in that kindness He is putting in the hearts of people to what you were saying earlier, to bring people with them. I used to say most of our ministry was knocking on doors and, you know, finding ways to reach lost people. And, you know, because of the people in our church being, you know, having a heart for their friends and their neighbors, you know, we'll have so many visitors. Like, it's everything we can do just to keep up with the visitors that are coming. So that's great. So I think God is putting in the hearts of young and old people that have hearts for their friends, have hearts for their family members, have hearts for their neighbors that are lost, and they're bringing them. I think that everything we do is centered around the cross. Like, we've talked about sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We should make sure that we do it here. That we want to tell people to make sure they tell the world that God is holy, that man is sinful and we deserve judgment, but God in His grace has sent Jesus to live perfectly, a life we couldn't live, and to die a sacrificial death in the place of sinners, and He rose victoriously, conquering our sin, conquering death, so that if anyone would turn from sin and trust in Jesus, they could be saved. And so, you know, I think everything we do, from what we sing, our small groups, our classes, is just going to be centered around a cross and an empty grave. And, you know, we just don't get caught up in other stuff. You know, and I'm grateful for a church that doesn't major on stuff.
Well, you see, I know what you mean, but major on stuff like what? Carpet,
yeah. Yeah,
or whatever.
They don't care. So we
building stuff.
Yeah. So yeah. When like we're putting new floor covering downstairs, and somebody asked me what I think about the color. I don't care what color it is. And I think I'm glad that there are people who care, but we let them make those decisions. And then,
sure.
And so you have people who make those decisions, and everyone seems to be okay with it.
Empower them to do it and roll on.
Right, yeah.
And you know, because some people just don't need to be in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a heart full for people,
mm-hmm.
a heart full of love for people. Do you think that the folks that are in the pews, this is painting a broad stroke, though. I have seen you talk about evangelism, and they either get scared or they don't understand,
mm-hmm.
or what is the disconnect there in some cases? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's always seems to always be fear, fear of rejection, fear of not knowing what to say, fear of, you know, it's satanic, it's warfare that would keep our mouth shut. I mean, I think I experience that too. I don't share the gospel every time that I mm-hmm. should. I think it's, you know, for one reason or another, we get fearful of something. I think a lot of it too, I think the more we talk, you know, I was so encouraged. So two things. One, another thing about that I just love of God's grace to our church is that I think our church is unique in that I've never seen a church that's more diverse. I wish we were more ethnically diverse, but more diverse in that at our church, you'll find an older person sitting next to a younger person, a millionaire sitting next to someone on government assistance, sitting next to someone who has a college degree, sitting next to a high school dropout, sitting next to someone who's been in church their entire life, sitting next to someone who's just trying to go another day without a needle in their arm. You know, like there is like that. Those are things that can only be accomplished by the gospel. And I think that kind of love for one another, that's bought by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Like that can't be taught. And so I think when God's doing that amongst your people, then there becomes a heart for other people. Like, we are beggars who have found bread. Let's go tell other beggars where the bread is. And you know, like an encouraging thing, like with our staff, like we really do see each other as family and like close friends. And so when we pray together, you know, when we prayed together this last Monday, we went around the room and it seemed like everyone around the room was like praying that we wanted to pray for more of a desire to share the gospel, more particular people that we want to see God save. Like, those are sweet times when you know that people in your church are praying and the people on staff are praying for lost people and praying that God would move in our hearts to where we say, you know, you can't pump gas and someone across from you, you just wonder, where are they? And, oh, I have a track. Maybe that'll open up a conversation. You just...
I hear you saying in that you need to be, one, have the heart for it, but be intentional.
Yeah.
Intentional in your sharing of the faith. And this business about tears on the altar, how do we get folks to there? How do we get those dry baptistries with water back in them and not be closets? And
right.
What is it going to take?
Yeah. I think the more that we just understand the gospel ourselves, like, you know, I hope I never forget what God saved me from.
Praise the Lord.
And to really believe there's nobody that he can't save. Like, you know, I'm convinced if he can save me, he can save anyone. And we want other people to believe that too. And I think, and you know, God doesn't need our tears. He can save people. I could drop dead tomorrow and he'll still make a name for himself. Our church could go away, he'll still make a name for himself, right? But I do, and so there is a, so I want to preach and plead with people for God's glory because he's worthy of it. There's nothing better to talk about. And I want to preach to people because my heart's breaking for people. And so if my heart's not breaking for people, then I might not be as passionate about his glory either. And so I want to recognize when my heart seems to not be thinking that way, to be praying that, you know, to start praying, Lord, give me tears for the lost people like I've never had before. You know, break my heart. Give me a burden. I need to feel the weight that everyone who leaves this life without Christ will be in eternal torment. And I have the news that can rescue them from that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I want to pray for tears regularly.
Well, I pray that has touched your heart this morning. And this is from a practicing pastor, 15 years at one place. You know, you've been pastoring longer. And that breaks the mold right there, just being in one place that long, Brother Darrell. And I appreciate Brother Darrell Crawford. And he's on the web. Just check him out, Living Hope Baptist Church, Eagleway Bypass, or Calvary Memorial, Pyle Lane.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the service times. Well, we need to get Brother Darrell back, and we'll talk about more. Back to church Sunday. Christian, go to church. Take someone with you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.
Amen.
Have a great day in Jesus, and thank you for praying for Missionary Radio and the upcoming Carathon.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.